Everybody in here, maybe feeling the way I'm feeling right now, and I think my heart's going to bust. I think my heart's just going to explode. You know, the goodness of the Lord and being in the house of the Lord and Christmas songs and the fact that God so loved us, He sent His Son, and just to worship the Lord in a togetherness once again as we give our tithes and offerings, and it's just such a beautiful thing. And so we praise the Lord for all of His goodness and His wonderful blessings. And in our prayers this morning, just praying for Mike Noel, continue to keep Mike Noel in our prayers, and just the many health needs throughout our families due to COVID. And also, with that being said, but now Zen, her funeral is a celebration of life because she's in glory. That is this next Saturday. And so just remember that family in your prayers. Vonnie Hamilton's doing fine. She's doing good after having her surgery. And so there's so many things going on and illnesses. Melissa Lehman, she has the whooping cough. So let's keep Melissa in our prayers. Rick Brennies recovering from surgery in Carlisle Hospital. And so there are just, illnesses, things going on. Who did I just hear was just in the hospital with pneumonia? Yeah, Pete Heckman. So remember Pete. Pete Heckman's in the hospital with pneumonia. June. There you go. Very well. Very well. And almost like pain-free. That's powerful. Praise the Lord. Any unspoken requests this morning? Okay. Heavenly Father, our hearts rejoice in You. We sing about love and we talk about love and love has come and yet we got to explain, just exclaim and ask the question, what love is this that we should be called the sons and daughters of God? That You would come into this world, as the song says, for me, each one of us. And if each one of us was the only person at all in this world, You would still come and have died just for the one. You came to us to bring us to where You are. So we're grateful for the cross, for the gospel. We're grateful, dear God, for this grace that has come to us. And that by faith we believe in the Lord Jesus and His finished work upon Calvary's cross. And just putting our trust and our faith and grace to do so. And it's marvelous, Lord. And forever our sins have been cast away for us. Forever we are alive in Christ. Forever we shall live with You, Lord God, our Father. In heaven above, we praise You. We thank You that we do not pray in vain. We thank You that all we need and is who we have is the Lord Jesus. And He has opened a way that we can come to You, Father, with our needs every day. You have so richly. You are the bread from heaven has come down to us. And all we need to do is whisper the prayer. The heartache, I need You. For the healing, for the wisdom, for the guidance, the direction, the supply, whatever it is that we need, it comes from Your bountiful heart, O Father, and we thank You. We look forward to the day when we shall be with You in glory, and there we shall forever be with the Lord, and to know Your love in a very much closer way, for faith will then be sight, and we'll be there. And we are so thankful for the peace that we have in knowing that our sins have been taken care of on Calvary's cross. And we have loved ones who have died in Christ and gone on. And peace we have knowing that they're fine. They are well. They're in fullness of life. They're safely home. And You guide each one of Your children safely home. Not one of us will ever be lost. You will guide us safely in that pathway of peace and see us into glory. God, we love You. We just so celebrate Christmas time, the celebration of Your birth, and we celebrate the love and the joy, and so that it fills our hearts. We praise You this morning, God. And as we did take up the offering together and we present that to You, we ask Your blessing upon it, that the work of the church should go on powerfully and strongly in our communities and within the body and in our communities and across the waters into many nations. For Lord Jesus, today around the world, as the word is proclaimed in the public places and in the private sector, that Lord Jesus, souls will come to Christ, and we rejoice in that. Every soul is made in the image of God and worthy of salvation. And Lord, we will always proclaim that. Lord, cleanse our hearts. Look deep into our hearts and wash our hearts of any ill feelings and any wrongdoings and any kind of harborings that are not pleasing unto thee, that are not in line with your word. Lift up the spirits of the downtrodden and perhaps the discouraged that are here this morning, and for things that are just weighing down upon the heart and matters of life and Lord, perhaps a despondency of what do I do next? What we always do, we look unto the Father. You are faithful. All we need to do is ask you. We bless your name. I pray, dear God, you bless the family units this morning. And each one, and God, may families be joined ever tighter together. And God, just thanking you so much. Praying for our college students, and Lord, they're scattered here and there, and some are able to be with us this morning, and we just thank you for that, and lead their lives. May they look unto Christ, that they know just where to let their light so shine for Jesus. Lead them in their calling. They'll know the calling of God upon their life. Our little kiddos, how blessed it is when we get hugs from the little ones. And Lord Jesus, you love them with a strong yet gentle hand, a gentle word as we sang this morning. And we're all your kids. And we thank thee, Lord Jesus. We pray for the salvation of our loved ones. We pray, Lord Jesus, for the strength of the church, the purity of the church. We pray for these requests this morning for Rick Brennies, for his healing, Melissa Lehman for her healing, Mike Noll for his healing, thanking you, God, for answers to prayer on behalf of Ron and other ones, Vonnie, that we've been praying for, and we ask you to be with Barb Lehman's family, as her sister has passed on to your presence, Teresa Nitschman. So we thank you, Father, for the peace there, and ask you bless Barb and Jay and all the family and all of Teresa's family, her husband Ken, and Lord, that your peace would abound in their lives. And may we just all know, the day is going to come. Press it upon us that we're going to breathe our last here. And then what will it be? And we know what it will be if we trust Christ as our Savior. We know what it will be if we don't. Heaven awaits the believer. Hell will engulf the sinner. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for that cross. Praise you for the cross. For the way of Christ is the way to eternal life. We pray your blessing upon the living Christmas tree as they will sing out this afternoon in the last scheduled performance, and ask your blessing there upon that in the ministry. And so, Lord, we just love you and we bless you. Bless our little kiddos as they go to their Ignite class this morning, and lead us all as we study our Bibles together. We bless you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Kiddos, you're dismissed to Ignite. Opening your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke. We're there in chapter 21. Chapter 21, maybe perhaps you would have expected to be in the earlier part of the Gospel, because that talks about the birth of Jesus, and this may seem to be a bit of a strange text for Advent, but what we intend to do is tie it in with the birth of Jesus and to remind us that the celebration of Advent properly, totally reaches back, way back into eternity. Whenever the counsels of God, when God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, when God's plan and purpose for man of salvation, when that was all decided. And in Genesis 1:1 began. And it wasn't long till sin entered the human race and we were fallen from God. Fallen. And then as was planned, we celebrate Christmas, the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ as he came to us. Sent by God the Father. Isn't that an amazing thing? when you try to wrap your mind around the fact that the eternal Word became a person, became a babe, became an embryo, became so microscopic, invisible to the human eye when conceived by the Holy Ghost in the womb of Mary. I mean, does it just like blow your mind to pieces trying to get your mind around that? And that God would even do this? That God would even take on flesh? The eternal Holy Word? And all for you and I, all for you and I, and that God the Father would be so pleased then when His Son is an adult, having guided Him all through His life, and it is pleased that He would give His Son, His Son's back and His face to the smiters and to the floggers, and that Jesus so willingly would lay down His life on Calvary's cross and be suspended between heaven and earth. And there, for you and I, He would take the wrath of God, His justice for our sins. He would take the onslaught of hell raging against Him. And Satan's the hardest and the worst that he could bring against Jesus. And for 3 hours and longer, 6 hours. It was just an incredible thing. And those wonderful words, "It is finished. It is finished." The price was paid. Salvation was won. The Father's justice, His demands were met. The celebration of Christ, eternal life, and that all who believe in their heart and confess with their mouth Christ is Lord shall be saved, Scripture declares. Advent, it is so powerful because all this, it is rooted in God's eternity past, proclaimed powerfully in God's eternity forward, and leading us on to the day when Christ shall come the second time, when He shall come and rapture out the church, and He shall call us, and we shall meet the Lord in the air, and forever we shall be with the Lord. And then moving onward, when Christ comes back and establishes His kingdom here upon this earth, in this world, and He will rule the world. He will rule the world with a rod of iron, truth, power, glory. Every knee shall bow, every king, every president, every governor, every senator, every person in leadership, every individual around the world will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll have no choice. Some will gladly do. Others will do against the desires of their heart, but they shall bow unto the Lord. So Advent, it points back, it points forward, and brings us right here. It is a very sacred time, a very sacred time. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Advent, it is a time to celebrate the first coming while we joyfully await His second coming. You know, we as God's people, by grace, we are really, really right in the throes, if you will, of a really good thing. And the peace that we have, and we're going to bring this to light this morning, and that we have in Christ, the salvation that we have. And when you think about going to heaven, and it just explodes your face in a great big smile, doesn't it? I mean, we are going to a land, as the song said, that is fairer than day. And the glories and the bliss of heaven. So I pray that as your brother, that you look forward to the day when you will exhaust your lungs, your last breath, that the Lord hasn't come back yet to receive us all. And with joy and gladness, there you go. A fellow once, not too very long ago, shared with me about the moment when his wife passed, and they were married but only 20 years, and he is now 71. He has since remarried. But he told me, he said, but I was so upset, so frightened, that I was preparing for my wife's passing, which she did so there in their house with hospice care. He said, I just knew I would probably die. I just couldn't stand it. And the day came when the nurse said, she'll be passing today. He said, as I stood on one side of her bed and the nurse on the other side, that she was already very incoherent, almost comatose, and she breathed her last. He said, in that moment, now you listen to this, because some of you experience things like this, Because this is what God, the great shepherd, does to his people. He said, in that moment, my grief was turned to joy. He said, he allowed me to see the vision. He said, whether it was the reality or whatever it was a vision. I saw my wife as she entered glory. Her name was proclaimed and announced by Jesus, and all of heaven applauded. The applause, the shouts, the brightness, the glory. He said, and that changed me. He said, in that moment, I actually wanted to clap my hands. He said, but at the moment, I thought, the nurse that is present wouldn't know how to handle that. And so, he said, that just changed me, and I rejoiced. But that's the things, when God does special visitations with you, because he's such a wonderful shepherd, to encourage your heart, looking forward to the day when we shall be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Christ, his ultimate return, in many ways mirrors his birth in Bethlehem. And so as we read our passage here, his present and future promises, the certainty of it. You know, the crisis that we know in this world, around Christ's birth, there was crisis. We have crisis now. There's going to be crisis when the Lord comes back. Hope is heavenly sure. And the third thing there, that personal response as we read and as we hear the gospel, personal response unto God is absolutely required. Required. Let's read our passage as we begin here in verse number 25 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear in the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, Jesus says, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. And then when he spoke to them, a parable, look at the fig tree and we move on. The Lord Jesus Christ, the very words of Christ. First of all, this morning, you know, we got to know that crisis is certain. Crisis is certain. And we know that. We watch things that had happened at the birth of Christ. As we just recall what took place here, you know, the taxation that went out and that required Joseph and his young bride and very pregnant to make this exhaustive long journey on the back of the beast as they were going to Bethlehem. Now, when you try to picture that, we see pictures, we have seen this, we have watched this for many, many years. As you picture yourself as a woman in the place of Mary, you picture yourself as a man being Joseph, and you have to make this travel to register. And it's not going to bring a lot of happy thoughts to your mind. The crisis that was there. The frightened shepherds out on the hillside when the heavens opened up, announcing the birth of Jesus. We have the long, rugged, multi-year journey of the Magi to see the Christ child. Many crises. There was no room at the inn, and our blessed Savior was born in a cold stone cave. With animals around, very crude, the situation. The crisis in Jesus' life. But you know, the greatest crisis of all at his birth, people wondered. People asked, is this really the Christ child? Is this really he? They were expecting him to come with great pomp and great circumstance. They never expected the Messiah to come in such a way to be born into the human race as he was. Is this really he? You know how Simeon, as he looked for and longed for, that he would see the Messiah before that he died. And God granted that. As Mary and Joseph then took the baby Jesus to the temple. And Simeon picked him up and held him in his arms, out of the arms of Mary. And he blessed the Lord. He says, "Mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord." Many are stymied and many stumble at the fact, is this Christ really He? Is this really the Lord Jesus? He goes on to His ministry. There was crisis in His ministry continually. Throughout His ministry, He was doubted. He was pursued by the religious leaders. He was questioned. Many doubted because they said, "Could I really believe this guy?" Another said, "Yet He speaks like no man has ever spoken before." There is something about Him. The crisis in His life. He had no place to lay His head. He didn't go and do His work for the day as He entered His public ministry and then go home to His house and have deep fried shrimp and french fries for lunch and then grab a cup of Joe and go kick up the table or kick up the recliner for His feet and there relax. He had no place. He says, "The foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head." He had no home. He would stay at home. And many times through the night throughout His ministry, you would find Him. If they searched to Him alongside His disciples, you would find Him out on the mountainside in prayer with His Heavenly Father. And then He would begin right on the next day's work, the next day's labor, to do His Father's work, which was what? "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost." And He is our pattern and our example. So then I asked a question, how much do we melt in with that pattern and example that every day it is my business, it is my duty, it is my calling to share the gospel with others, to go about doing good into the lives of others? How much do we even think about that, let alone practice it? The Lord Jesus Christ, His miracles erupted many arguments, called for many discussions. As He tried to make light of it, the people receiving it and being embraced and by it, and yet the religious leaders calling Him out and seeking and setting traps for Him that they may arrest Him and take Him and kill Him and put Him away, because the hearts of the people were turning away from the religious leaders and turning toward this man. And so there was crisis in all the culture and all the communities, all because of this one man, Jesus. And I'll tell you something, dear friends, when you meet Jesus Christ, when you, by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you meet Him, you will never be the same again. Whether you receive Him or you reject Him, you will never be the same again. You cannot come in contact with the sovereign of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, and hear His call upon your heart. "Come to Me and I'll give you rest." You can never experience that and be the same again. You will either receive Him with joy and gladness, you will either that, or else you will reject Him, and your heart will hunger and be even more miserable than it ever was. You will never be the same again. Look unto Jesus and live. He was falsely accused. The mockeries upon His life, His ministry, His own disciples deserted Him. People of the community, many followers, they turned away from Him. He was brutally scourged when He was arrested, and He was beaten beyond recognition, and this was prophesied in Isaiah. And so therefore, was He was beaten beyond recognition as a man, and therefore the question as they would watch Him, and they watched Him on the cross, and afterwards, it was, is this really Jesus? Is this someone else? Did He really die on that cross? Or was He in like a comatose, in a swoon, if you will? Was His body, is put it in the grave? Did He really come out in His own resurrection? Or was His body stolen and replaced or just taken away? Did Jesus really die on Calvary? Was it really Christ who died on Calvary? Did He rise again? Or was it somebody else that came in and took the body away because maybe He wasn't even dead at all? All these seeds of doubt that Satan uses and has used ever since the day of Christ, and even beyond that, backwards from that, he uses today. It is that seed of doubt that he puts in your mind about who Christ is, and that he when his very own word says that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to my Father except by putting faith and trust in me. There is only one way to glory. There's only one way to joyfully be found at the feet of Jesus when you die, and that is that you have been born again here in this time zone. Here, today is the day of salvation. Today, put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Today, you call to family members, you call to friends, you go about the Lord's work, because time is short. It is very short. The days are becoming more and more darker, and you know that as well as I do. And we look unto Christ, unto the Lord. And so these questions about Jesus, they continue today. And the sad thing is, it just doesn't come from culture. We find a confusion in the camp of God's church. And many Christians are becoming confused. Many preachers are becoming confused. They're believing anything in too many options that are just not true. Christ alone, it is Christ. Christ who is the way, the truth, and the life. There was one Savior. There was one Lord. There was one faith. There was one baptism. There was one Spirit, the Holy Ghost, who leads us and guides us all. There is one Father. There is only one Jesus. And that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. That Jesus grew as a sinless child into his adult years. That very Jesus began 3 years of ministry. That very Jesus walked through the towns and traveled many miles proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming himself, proclaiming the kingdom of God. That very same Jesus came to the climax where he was arrested and he was taken into before Pilate in the mockery of a trial. That same Jesus was scourged beyond recognition that any man could ever visually see him and know who he was. That very same Jesus died on Calvary's cross. It is he who said, "It is finished," and he yielded up the ghost. That very Jesus was taken down off the cross by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and he was placed in a tomb. That very Jesus had that tomb where he was in, and the stone was rolled in front of the door, and it was sealed there, and guards were placed there. And on the third day, he rose again, according to the scriptures as they declare. All these scriptures declare the glories of Christ and who he is. The Lord Jesus, this is he who then ministered for 40 days upon this earth. This is he who then ascended and took the Father's, etc., at the right hand of God on high. At the Father's throne, he is there seated in glory. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is he who says, "I'm coming again in clouds of great glory." This is Christ. This is the one whom we celebrate in the manger. This is he who we celebrate on the cross. This is he who we celebrate as he comes again. His name is Jesus. There's even more. Because all creation is in crisis. As the scriptures declare that the whole earth groans in crisis, in birth, in child pains, awaiting the release of the curse upon the earth. The whole world is in crisis. It is in bondage to decay, just like you and I are in bondage to decay of our physical bodies, but our spiritual body is being renewed day by day as a child of God. And knowing that our Christ, who is seated on the throne in glory, is praying in intercession for us and leading us. You know, we are the whole earth, not just you and I, the whole earth, the actual cosmic world is waiting for the fulfillment of God's plan when the earth will be released from the curse upon it. So there's crisis everywhere. And we've got crisis within crisis, crisis upon a crisis. We've got crisis as we've known it every day of our life. Crisis in our life, crisis in our family, crisis in our community, crisis here, crisis there. You know, worldwide crisis like we've been experiencing. It is the Lord Jesus, and knowing that he is the sovereign creator. And he says, and then when it comes time for the Lord to come back, he says, "There will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and the earth, distress of nations, perplexity in the seas and the waves." And he goes on. Crisis. Everything about Christ is because of, and then in Christ in himself brings crisis. Because once you meet Christ, as said, the crisis really begins in your life. What are you going to do with this man called Jesus, the Savior of the world? So Christ was born in Bethlehem in a time of crisis. Not a word had been heard from God by any prophet for 500 years. Now you try to imagine. There's no Sunday morning TV, church TV. There's nothing on the airwaves. There's no Christian CDs. There's no books. There's nothing. 500 years? 500 years? And the heavens are silent? How low do you think culture really was? How harsh, how mean, how hateful, how hard, how poor, stricken. And in that beautiful night, Christ was born. There's crisis in his ministry, crisis at his return, crisis, the glories of God. But now Luke, he calls to us. We look at verses 28 and onward to through 33. And he gets on talking about the parable. But we find here that the hope, he says here in verse 28, that when you see these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Dear church, we look around and we see what our world is like. We look around and we see what's happening in our communities. We look around and we see what's even happened perhaps in our own families. And we know that things are really decaying fast and fast and fast. And Jesus says, when you see these things, he said, you rejoice to the Lord and know, and you look up. He says, you stand up. Stand up and you look up and you raise up your hands and you raise up your voices. Because the Lord is coming soon. He said, you proclaim me. You proclaim me, shout the words of God to other people, to other believers, and it's that peace that comes into our life. You know, you and I, along with people of the world, still the natural response to crisis is fear and dread. That's the natural response. And we find that here Luke calls us to peace and hope. Christ was born in Bethlehem. He was the hope that God sent to us. The hope that we have in our lives. The hope that we have knowing that when our loved one has passed, we will see them again. Hope that we have knowing that the Lord is going to come and put down all this wicked political, the regimes, man, his ugly heart, his hateful heart, his nasty heart, and God's going to put it down. And everybody will serve the Lord. That's the hope, and we know it. We know it. So why do Christians move around with long faces, doubtful hearts, faith that has become weak, and therefore fear-stricken, instead of the trust that we have in Christ? Man who thinks he's so big will soon find out that his britches are pretty small. He will be certainly subject to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. This one who was born as a babe in Bethlehem, who died on Calvary's cross, who rose again, is now ascended into glory and is seated at the right hand of God the Father and coming again. This is Christ whom we worship. This is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming again. Let's bless the Lord this morning. Praise him. He's the Lord. He is coming. Crisis. So the Lord's return is near. He says, we see the signs of the days, the signs of the times. So much lying. So much treachery. The Lord's return. We look unto the Lord. You know, even now, Peter, you know, every doctrinal principle of our faith declares to us that as God's children, we are going to suffer. Jesus told us we're going to suffer. He says, they hated me, they're going to hate you, Christian. You keep feeding on me, I am the bread of heaven. And then he goes on to say it is actually for your good, and the Apostle Paul declares it as well. It is actually for your good that you do suffer. And Peter says it's good that you suffer. It is good that we suffer, because when we suffer, and then we draw unto Christ. We draw unto Christ. And our hearts are purified. Our minds get straightened out. And things drop away that we know really aren't important in life. It is good to suffer for the child of God. So it's going to happen. And it has happened. And you've been through suffering. And we're going to go through a whole lot more suffering. So keeping the heart steadfast upon the Lord. And because suffering in itself leads us to greater sanctification. A purifying and a drawing closer to God, a sanctifying work of God that would not, could not happen apart from suffering. The fellowship of his sufferings. Philippians 3:10. Conformed to the image of his death. He goes on to say that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. You see, it's not about the here and the now. It's about following Christ, worshiping Christ, knowing that I'm preparing for glory. And that preparing begins by trusting Christ as Savior and then following the Lord as a disciple, because the Lord says, whoever loves me, hears my word and obeys my word and follows me. That, he says, is my disciple. And we walk after Christ. So the very words of Christ, as he has them written here, if you have a red letter edition, meaning these are the very words of Jesus. These are level one words. And not only his words, but his example. His example teaches us that crisis and suffering is real. And he is coming soon. But all the realism and all the suffering and all the crisis that surrounds this one solitary figure, Jesus. And that just is so erupted in all the world. There's the cross. The cross stands high, calls to the world, Christ, and in him we are secure. We have peace. We have hope. Our faith is strengthened. And those of you like in the same decade of life as I am, and as we look at our kids and we pray for them, we look at our grandchildren, we pray for them and we teach them and lead them in the Lord, and we know that in Christ they're going to be all right. They're going to be all right. They'll be his messengers 40, 50 years from now, Lord willing, just as we are today, serving the Lord. But let it never be said that Christianity is void of realism. Because those who truly love Christ, those who truly are engaging his word and being led by the Spirit of God, know that the Christian life is not that phrase we hear, a bed of roses. We're not exempt from the suffering and the crisis. But what we have is what the world doesn't have. The peace of God that transcends all understanding. We know this is God's plan, this is God's purpose. And we know every day we're one day closer to the consummation of all the age, when the King of Kings shall come back. So in all this, we find and we know that response is required. A personal response is required. And therefore, this parable, he says, beginning at verse 29, he spoke to them a parable. He says, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see, and you know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you know also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. What things? Things that he mentioned here in 24, 5, and 6, and 7. These things. He says, you know the kingdom of God is here. He says, when you look around and you see a world that's so unrest, and just everybody's in fear, and disease is running rampant, and I don't think we've seen even at all the worst of things yet when it comes to new diseases coming down the pike. The fallenness of creation, the fallenness And the curse of sin upon this world is going to get worse and worse, and things are going to get darker and darker until the day of the Lord. And so therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. You get into His Word. You let your heart be just swallowed up by and embraced by Christ, and you become His light and His vessel. And know, because He has you planted where you are, and your family needs you, your working peers need you, your student peers need you to be vocal for Christ. That's why He says, stand on your feet, raise up your heads and your voices, and proclaim Jesus. Say that there is a hope that we have, the hope that is fixed in Christ, a hope and a peace that you can have, no matter what happens in the world, and that peace is in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved in this time of crisis. And so we got to then choose. You must choose who and what you're going to believe. Each one personally. Who are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? What's going to be your standard? Your principle of truth? There is only one. It's the Holy Scriptures. There is only one Christ, and His name is Jesus. There's only one Father God. There's only one way to know how to live in this world. And that is in Christ. Trusting in Him, resting in the Lord. All of this, the proper response to both crisis and hope is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is to believe in who He is and all He has accomplished on Calvary. And that He is who He says He is. I am the Son of God who's come down from heaven for you. The Lord Jesus. True God-fearing belief always. Now get this. True God-fearing belief always leads us, ushers us, keeps us in peace and in hope. Let the storms rage as they will. Let the world become evil and more wicked as it will. Let Christians be persecuted as we will be and as they are right now. As many souls will come into Christ's kingdom throughout around the world today through the preaching of the gospel, know that there are many Christians who are going to be slaughtered today. You're not going to hear this on Fox and CNN or anywhere, but you'll find it in the Christian news releases. And it's coming here. Just know it. The belief in Christ. So Christ is coming soon, and by His grace, as we read here in this chapter 21, we rest in the sovereign purposes of God. His plan. His purpose. It is sure and amen. So, the events of Bethlehem teach us, and of Calvary teach us, and of Christ's return teach us to choose Christ. Don't mess with your life. Don't try to buy time. Don't ignore the call of the Holy Ghost upon your heart and soul. Don't trifle with God. He's the Lord. And when He's calling and touching into your life, He's calling you to Himself that He may redeem you, save you, and keep you as the crisis of the world gets worse and worse and worse. The Lord Himself knows all about crisis. And the beautiful thing is, you know, Jesus said, I am the bread of heaven who's come down to us. Just as I started with the good friend that the Lord blessed him in a very special way upon the death of his wife. It's just like this hope. Jesus doesn't keep us groping, trying to find hope, trying to find His peace. He feeds us. He shepherds us. You just ask. Whatever the crisis is in your life or in your family, whatever it is, you just ask Him. I need help with this. This has me all upset, Jesus. My young friends have just blasted me in my face. I don't know what to do with this. I am your child of God. I'm a Christian in this culture. And I've got pressures coming on at me to oblige the world system that goes against my conscience, that goes against my faith. I need to know what to do with this, God. And do you think He's going to ignore you and keep you groping? No, He's going to answer that prayer, and He's going to move you. He's going to speak into your heart and move you into right places and positions with the right people to help you. But He's going to speak to you in your heart, and that peace is yours. Your conscience is the most powerful, powerful part that you have. It's your spirit, your conscience. Don't violate conscience, no matter what. Trusting in the Lord. He is the bread that has come down out of heaven. He will shepherd you. It's always a whisper away. When you've been violated, you've been challenged, God, I don't know what to do. He says, I will teach you what to do. And you'll go to His Word. And the Holy Spirit will guide you in the Scriptures. He will speak to you. He speaks to His Word, but you know, as old Tozer said, God always speaks to the heart that's listening. Listening. And when you come alone with God to seek Him, as He says, you seek me, when in other words, you seek me, my heart, my directions in your life, you're going to find me, find me, find me. He won't keep you groping. And so as with Bethlehem, thousands of years, and all of a sudden, He's here. In a teeny tiny little place in Bethlehem, in a rugged, cruel, stinking, cold, dark cave of a barn. Time. And all of a sudden, He's coming back. He is coming back. And when He comes back, what you have done with Jesus now will make all the difference. Christ. Christ alone. It is time. It is time for the heart and soul to find the rest in the salvation of Jesus Christ. Because He's coming back. For sure. For certain. We will stand before the Lord. Embrace the cross. He's coming. Almighty God, we bless You today. How we thank You. In You, You are our hope. You are our Christ. You're the one who is seated on the throne of glory, on Your Father's throne. And You're coming soon. Today is the day of salvation. Holy Spirit, You call to people. You call people. You continually call people to come unto Me. The very words of Christ. Jesus says, come unto Me and I will give you rest. Come unto Me and find rest for your soul. The peace that we can have. Lord, we look around and we don't like what we see. And it really bothers us. At times scares us. Deeply concerns us. But when we pick up Your Bible, the Holy Word, and we read, like we read here in Luke chapter 21, we find that it is Your plan and Your purpose, that You are the governor of this world, and You are hastening all things in Your plan to Your return. Lord, there in that and in you we find rest and peace. And I pray that every heart in here this morning has bowed unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps that precious one has been thinking about it for quite some time, just confused and just being just swirled about. The Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, settle that heart and pull with that powerful love of yours. And they say, yes, Lord Jesus, I give you my heart, my life, my all. In that peace of God which transcends mortal understanding becomes a living, eternal reality. God, save us from trying to think ourselves through to salvation, convince ourselves we are okay, and we take that hopelessness with us to our death. But rather we know Christ is Savior, and we take the very truth of being hidden in Christ and God to our dying day with joy and gladness, and open our eyes in the very presence of the Lord. Because only when we come to Christ here can we live forever, and only when we come to Christ here can we truly know how to live here. Oh God, have your way in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, as we sing our closing song, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, has Christ come into your heart? Have you opened the door to your heart? Are you willing, or have you, to turn your back on the world and your own life and embrace Jesus for eternity? As a preacher said not too long ago, eternity is too long to be wrong. Look unto Christ and be saved. Come thou long expected Jesus, we're looking for his return. Your heart, if you've never trusted Christ, your heart cries to you, come into my heart, Jesus. Come into my heart. Let us stand. Come this morning. Receive Christ as Savior.
Forever, now thy grace. And I pray that throughout this coming week, you will draw closer unto the Lord. And perhaps even now, yes, some of you, as you leave this place, yet still lost in your sins, you will come along with Jesus. You will talk to him. You will listen to him. You will believe his promises. And you will know in your heart that you were born again in Christ as you give him your heart and soul. Jesus said in John's word, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. And that throughout this next week, you will share with one, at least one or two people, the hope of Christ. Be the love, the joy, the blessedness, this peace of Christ into someone's life. Oh, the world needs you, Christian, to speak the blessedness of hope into life, into their life. Okay? Thank you, then. Let us pray. Almighty God, how we praise your holy name. We thank you, God, for the promises of God. The child of God knows this peace. And it may be a little immature, it may be deeply challenged because a little bit starved out maybe at times. But the peace of God, which transcends mortal understanding, the peace of God of being a child of God, cannot be resisted. It's the reality. It's real. And you know it. And we thank you, God, for this. It's all grace. And I pray, dear God, for every heart and soul to be found in Christ, trust Christ, be born again in Christ, and know that Jesus is their Savior. And their faces show the joy in their heart. Thank you. Lead us by thine own eternal Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now I ask you to be